Welcome to the LVC podcast series. No two refractive clinics have the same approach or level of expertise when it comes to modern marketing. Through the LVC podcast series, you'll be introduced to industry experts of various marketing disciplines. Join us on this journey as we discuss all things marketing, and specifically how they relate to the world of laser vision correction. The LVC podcast series. Know where you want to take your laser vision clinic and get there.
Do seminars and open house events for laser vision correction attract potential patients to your clinic? Do people really show up and book consultations? And does attendance at an event increase conversions and help with workflow? I'm Carol Ann Porsaid, Practice Development Manager for Zeiss Smile, and today I'm honored to host my friend, Kathy Otto, who has spent the past 25 years at Fichte, Endel, and Elmer in Buffalo, New York in various roles, but is currently the Marketing Director. And today she'll answer those questions and more during this episode of our LVC podcast. So welcome, Kathy, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to share your experiences with our listeners.
Thank you, Carol Ann. I'm so happy to be here and share my knowledge with our listeners.
Awesome. Well, let's start with the number one question that I typically hear when discussing open house seminars. Do people actually show up?
Well, they sure do. I guess the key to getting them to show up is having the proper marketing mix, having a good agenda, a good schedule, and a nice flow. So over the years, we've kind of worked hard at cultivating these events. We do them monthly, and we've been doing them now for over 20 years, every single month. So we definitely have learned the ins and outs of what works and what doesn't work. And I'm super excited to share everything with our listeners today and help them run their own LASIK and laser vision open house events.
Fantastic. So Kathy, you say you do these monthly. About how many people do you attract on average to an event?
So it depends what time of the year. We're in Buffalo, New York, and it's very seasonal here with our weather. So when we think of summertime, we think of a time period of from May to September. And in those months, because we're positioned between two Great Lakes and a giant river, everybody's focused on being outside and bike riding and boating and water skiing and jet skiing and hiking, and they kind of only have a 3 or 4 month period to pack it all in. So we do see a drop in elective surgeries in the summertime because people want to use that time to kind of enjoy life. So seasonally speaking, on a lower end month, we might get 65 people to come, maybe 70. And on a very good month, when the weather's okay for driving and it's not too snowy, we might see 120 people come. We've had as many as 140 for one event, and that's usually because we're giving away a free LASIK or a free smile procedure. So when you couple it with a giveaway or in a very attractive hook, oftentimes you can bump up your attendance by doing that.
Wow, that is incredibly impressive. How come I've only get invited to Buffalo though in the winter? I want to come in the summer times and see the river and the Great Lake over there.
I don't know. I'm inviting you now. Why don't you come next week?
Okay, that you're on. I don't know. I seem to get these invitations in February. So from that number, you know, that you're averaging, you know, this 80 people to attend, about how many consultations do you schedule, or what percentage of people book from attendance at that event?
So it's really interesting. When you think about your lead process, you think of it as a funnel, and the top of funnel leads are the people sitting in their pajamas at 2 a.m. on their laptop or their phone, answering an online self-test if they're a candidate for laser vision correction. Those are very top of funnel leads. The people who attend our LASIK and our Smile open house events are people who are bottom of funnel. These people literally had the energy to sign up and then more so show up. They got in their car, they put clothes on, they drove here, and they sat in a seat, and they're willing to spend an hour and a half of their day learning about the next step. So when we have attendees at the events, we generally see between 71 and 86% of them booking at the time of the event, if they already haven't booked already, because a handful of them will book an evaluation and then come, because they want to get as much information as they can before they sit in the chair and they have FaceTime with the doctor. So we encourage people who've already signed up to come for an evaluation to come to the event before their evaluation, because it saves the doctor time as well as the patient, and it prepares them best for all of the information that they're going to see and hear. So yeah, we get a lot of people to show up and we get a lot of people to convert while they're here.
So this must actually help even with your workflow for your consultation, because you're doing this mass education for everybody. So when these patients do book consultations, it's more almost like a pre-op exam as opposed to a consultation and education, correct?
Yeah, very much so. In fact, when the doctor sees the patients at the open house, the first thing he does is say, thank you. Thank you so much for coming. This is going to be helpful to you and myself, because we can get all of your questions answered in an open forum. And big open question Q&A sessions benefit usually everybody in the room, because generally speaking, everybody has a lot of the same questions. And then at the end, if people don't feel comfortable asking a question in a large public forum, we often have doctors off to the side. So at the end, we say, if you have a private question, we can have you speak to our doctor off to the side privately. And then that way, anybody can ask a question and feel that they have good FaceTime with the doctor without even making an appointment.
Wow. So how do you actually get people to attend?
Well, that's quite an art form. That's the big magical question. And I've been the director of marketing here about 10 years, and I can't take full credit for these because they were very successful before I came on board. But what has happened during my kind of reign here in the director of marketing role is all of the different digital marketing channels have presented and evolved. So when we first did these kind of events, the advertising was simply radio and TV and a print ad in a local newspaper. That was back in the late 90s when we started these events. Now we're talking about very minimal TV. We still do radio, and we do loads of digital advertising. We do Facebook ads, we do Instagram ads, we do all sorts of SEO and SEM that link to our website. And we have a large campaign of digital billboards, and they are located on main arteries in and around our Western New York area. So when we buy billboard space, we've learned over the years, we don't purchase what they call static billboards, because that's just one message for the entire time the billboard runs. So instead, what works really great is digital billboards, because digital billboards can be changed anytime you want. You just sit at your computer and you change the message, you change the artwork, you hit send, and boom. I can say, happy birthday, Carol Ann, and have it running the minute you're driving down the Interstate 290 from the airport to come see me. And then an hour later, I can change it to come to our LASIK and laser vision correction open house, or smile is the newest, latest, greatest procedure, come learn about it. So the digital world has really transformed the way that we market ourselves, our products, our practice, and this event particularly.
Fantastic. So going back to the radio part, do you feel that that's more for just branding, or does that actually drive attendance?
Oh, it very much drives attendance. And I have had numerous discussions at ASCRS and different places and with different practices saying, oh, I don't think radio works, or radio is too expensive. Nobody listens to radio anymore. I don't want to try it. And that is, I totally believe they are wrong. It works very, very well for us. In fact, we are fortunate that we have a 1-800 call center right in the building that I work. So we have five or six ladies that sit there with headphones on all day long, and they answer the phone calls for our practice. We have two offices and two surgery centers. So any phone call that comes in comes to our headquarter number, the 1-800-309-2020, and they answer it. And they always know when the radio ads are running. They will literally come out of there in a sweat with their headphone around their neck, and they're like, oh my God, the ads must be on, because the phones just go bonkers. So we always run the ads when people are working in the call center. We advertise them heavily during the day, during drive time, during lunchtime, during 10 o'clock when people have breaks. But as you know, today, the workforce has really turned into a work at home force for probably, you know, almost half of the working people are working from home. They can make a call whenever they want. They can go on the phone or the computer whenever they want. So we have a call to action during the day a lot of times, and we do run them in the evenings and overnights, which are cheaper. And that will allow people to hear them and then go right to our website and sign up. So there's two ways to sign up. You can either call the number. So when you're driving down the road and you see the billboard, call us and schedule, you know, then usually you're going to make the phone call from your car. Hands-free. You don't have to even touch buttons now. You can just call. And then you'll sign up that way. Or if you hear the ad and you're home, you can go right to our website on your phone. It's all, of course, optimized for handheld use, our website. It's very easy to get to on your phone. 85% of web users are using a digital handheld device. So it's important to make sure that you're optimized for handheld, not just desktop. And you can register right on your phone or right on your computer for the event.
Wow. You brought up a lot of questions in my mind, but the one I'm going to focus on right now is for somebody who's getting ready to start this, you know, what percentage of your marketing budget would you allocate towards attracting patients to attend the open house event?
I would say our marketing budget, when I look at it as a whole, I'd say, at least half, maybe three quarters of my entire marketing budget is spent on getting people to come to our monthly open house event.
I love that. So that's the message, and that's your brand, is that you invite people into your practice and start building that relationship in that way, as opposed to marketing about price, or it's really the relationship and the branding of Ficta, Endel, and Elmer, correct?
It is. Yep. And our moniker is focused on you, and we are able to focus on you and your needs and your questions in an in-person way. We do this for cataract surgery as well. So every month I do a cataract surgery lunch and learn event. So a smaller portion of my marketing budget goes to market for that. But the LASIK and the smile budget, the refractive surgery budget, you know, it's a large piece, and it's all geared toward attending the open house, because the open house brings us so many people to sign up for an evaluation on the spot. And it's very, very trackable, which any marketer loves. You know, it's easy to slap your name on the side of a race car and say, oh, we sponsored the dirt track, or, you know, put something out there and on a TV commercial. But, you know, you can't track how many people heard that or how they came in. With digital, there's a footprint left behind. And there's Google Analytics, and there's Facebook Analytics, and there's all sorts of reporting you can do. Even my digital billboards, you know, my doctors kind of fought me on that. And they said, how are we going to know if the billboards are going to work? They're very expensive. And I said, I'm going to come up with a way to figure it out. And this is what I came up with. I run the billboards every single month, every day of the week. And it's always promoting the next open house event. That's all I use the billboard for. So what I do is the first 15 days prior to the event, I only advertise on the billboards. I don't do print. I don't do radio. I don't do TV. I don't do newspaper. I don't do digital social media. Only the billboard is running. And I can tell you that when I added the billboards 2 or 3 years ago, I used to might have 8 to 12 people signed up before all the other stuff started. Now I have 30 to 40.
Wow.
Because people are seeing the billboard. I only put them on a main artery. I only use digital. I only talk about open house. So I know they're working. That was my little trick to figure out if it was worth it. And then what happens after day 15 is all of the other ads start kicking in, and I advertise in print and social media and radio and TV all 14 to 10 days prior to the event. So then all the phone calls start pouring in, and all the forms start getting filled out, and all the Facebook ads go out in conjunction with the billboard that's already running.
So that's very helpful to our listeners. Thank you for sharing that information there. We've learned so far what the benefit to the practice is of having these. What's the patient's benefit? What's in it for them to come to these events?
So we offer a couple incentives to come, probably two to four times a year, we have a free laser vision correction giveaway. So we don't always know when we're going to do it because we don't want people to rely on it. And that's a huge hook, because if you attend the LASIK open house, the laser vision correction open house event, your name automatically goes in. And in 2 or 3 months, when we do the drawing, you have a very good chance of winning a free procedure. And a lot of people, of course, are hung up on price, and there's no better price than free. So if I can show up and sit in a chair for an hour and a half and fill out a ticket with my name, I'm coming, especially if I'm very bottom of funnel lead, if I'm very motivated to do this and money is my only thing stopping me, then certainly coming to this event would be helpful financially. So there's that. And the other thing is, normally you have to pay $150 for the LASIK evaluation at our practice. So it's a bit of a deterrent, because it's twofold. It's good in one way because it makes us not waste our time and our energy on evaluating people that aren't really truly ready to take the next step. Right. So the evaluation is good for 6 months. You have to pay $150 to come in and be evaluated. It's a 2 to 2.5 hour visit. They have a very comprehensive eye exam, plus all sorts of corneal maps. They have tear film analysis. We evaluate their prescriptions. They see a doctor, a technician, and a surgical counselor. And at the end, they get told if they're a candidate. If they are a candidate, how much it is going to be and what procedures they qualify for. So that's why we charge $150 for it. 3 people are involved to work them up and see them. And they're here a very long time. Now, if you pay the $150 and you have the procedure, that price comes off the price of the surgery. So it's basically a down payment. So once again, this is an insurance policy to us that they're really very motivated and they really plan on moving forward. And that testing period is good for 6 months. So if you have the evaluation, you pay the $150 and it's now August, and you say, gee, I'm going to get new insurance or a bonus coming up in December, that's fine. You have 6 months to schedule your procedure, and the $150 will come off the procedure price. If you don't want to spend the $150, but you're interested to know, or you're worried you're not a candidate and you don't want to lose $150, a good way to come and get that waived is to come to open house. Because if you attend open house, you get a free evaluation. So when you're here, we have people working on computers and they're ready to set up the appointments and book on the spot. So if you book your appointment on the spot, the fee of $150 is waived. So that is a very big reason a lot of people come to open house.
Perfect. And then Kathy, you said you give away a LASIK. So if I came to your July open house and I booked my consult and I had my surgery, but in September, when you give away LASIK, would you give me a refund, or can I give it to another family member? How does that work?
Actually, it works both of those ways. So Okay. The way the rules on the contest are written is the prize is transferable, meaning you can give it away to anybody you'd like, because of course, some people are not going to be a candidate. So if you come and you're evaluated and you have keratoconus or you're a minus 15, we don't want you to have a very valuable $4,000, $5,000 prize that is now useless. So you can give it away.
Perfect.
Or if you've already had the procedure since you attended open house and put your name in, then we'll give you a full refund, which is always super exciting, because it's great when somebody comes up with the money and they actually go through it and they, you know, a month ago put their name in, and then we drew their name after they had the procedure. We get to call them up and say, guess what? You're getting a full refund.
Oh, that must make some people very happy. I've seen some of your social media blasts where you give away the LASIK. It's pretty exciting. So, okay. So when patients calling your call center or go online, do you have to invest in any special kind of reservation software like Event Pro or something? Or is this just a spreadsheet you're keeping? How are you managing the registrations?
So no special software, no Event Pro, nothing like that. So everybody has their electronic medical records where their schedules live. So we create a schedule called Open House. And it's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the date of the event. So we have 12 of them built into our schedule every year. And then the call center people just enter in. Susie Jones is coming at 6 o'clock on this day. And we can then easily, this is a very good way for me to go in. I go in on that day and on that event, and I can see, I check every day like a freak, honestly, like almost OCD. I'm like, how many people do I have now? Oh, it's 6 hours later. The radio ads have been running. How many people do I have now? And I'm always looking in there. So I get a very good gauge, and it helps me manage my advertising and kind of see what's working best.
Okay. Okay, let's shift a little bit now to the event itself. So can you kind of just paint a picture for our listeners what the evening looks like, what your staff in attendance, if you have food, is there live surgery? If you can just walk us through that.
Sure. I always say that open house is a team sport, meaning this encompasses your building and a lot of your staff members. And you want the staff members working this event that are excited to be there, that want to be there, not the ones who are tired, need to get home, are looking at their watch, because when these people show up through the door, we have spent so much time and so much money to motivate them to come here that we want them to have a very Disneyland-like experience. We want smiling faces, we want happy, and we want a beautiful building, and we want food. So my magical formula is we have 6 appointment makers at least, ready to make appointments for people. We have 3 or 4 people working on the floor, and those are technicians, scribes, whoever would like to work that night, and they're directing people to the food, and they're directing people to take a seat. And they're we do a survey. We're passing out surveys. What could we do better? How did you like the event? So we have a lot of like floor people working. We also have our surgeons working every single solitary event. Our surgeons are there.
Your doctors show up at the event.
Absolutely. And they have to, because I'm here to tell you, if you hold this event and your marketing director runs it, or an OD or a very highly trained COMT or COT, nobody cares. Nobody is there to talk to technical personnel or somebody who's not going to operate on their eyes. They want to meet the surgeon. And if your surgeon is articulate, is well, works well in front of a group, is a good public speaker, it is a home run. People want to relate to their doctor. They want to meet their doctor. And, you know, face it, you can't spend an hour and a half with a doctor and not pay for it in any other way. You're going to have to pay a copay. Usually you're going to have to pay an appointment. You're going to have to pay a surgeon fee. This is who they're coming to see. Your doctor has to be there and has to be the host. If he by chance isn't that articulate, maybe he speaks another language. English is his second language. So maybe he's not the forefront guy. Maybe you have someone more articulate doing a lot of the talking, but the doctor should be there to answer the questions, introduce himself, and just be present at the event. So that's super important. So we have appointment makers, we have the surgeons, we have the floor people, we have me, I run the event, I'm on the floor, I'm making sure everything runs smoothly. We have food brought in, and we have that sponsored by a local restaurant. So we don't pay for the food, neither should you. How we work that is we basically get a restaurant and we say, listen, we're going to run several thousand dollars worth of radio, TV, and print and social media ads every month. And we want to say food was provided by you. In our case, we've most recently been using My Tomato Pie restaurant. It's a great place right next door to our office. So it's very convenient. So we have their logo on our ads. We say them on all of the radio ads, food provided by the award-winning staff of My Tomato Pie. So the food is there, compliments of them. And the reason we offer food is because people are coming from work. We have learned over the years, you do not want to do this at 7 o'clock, because in our region, in Buffalo, New York, once you get home, especially when it's cold out, you are fuzzy jammied up and wearing your slippers and you are not coming out again. So you got to get them while they're in their car seats and they're driving. Instead of making a right to go home, they need to make a left and come to our event. So we offer dinner, and it's no cost to us, and we don't pay for it, and they don't pay for it. So the flow of the event goes like this. We say doors open at 5:30, event starts at 6. People start rolling in. And when I say rolling in, they start rolling in at 5:12. So we got to make sure we're ready early. They walk in the front door. We have a friendly face with a list of people who are attending, and they say, hello, what is your name? Susie Jones. Hi, we have you. Let me check you off. Oh, you brought a guest. Let me check that person off. So now we have 2 people in the door. Let me direct you down the hall here, and you're going to have some food, and Katie's going to show you where to go next. So You go down and you get some pizza, some wings, some salads, a drink, a cookie. And then what we do is we have you take a left and you go down the hall. And now we're going to show you our laser vision correction suites. We have four lasers. We have them lit up. We have beautiful colored lighting, and we show you through big windows what it looks like. This is where you'll be laying down. This is where all the magic happens. We walk you through that area, and then we walk you back out to the front and have you take a seat. And up front, we have anywhere between 60 and 100 chairs set up, which we've set up during the day, and it's comfortable. And there's a couple of aisles so people can get in and out, and they're all facing the big TV screen. So now people have checked in, they got some food, they got welcome, they saw the facility, they saw the laser suites, and now they're sitting down and they received a folder when they showed up. When they got checked off, we give them a custom folder full of lots of good information. So we encourage people to come early, get situated, and that's why we advertise doors open at 5:30. If you say our event is at 6 o'clock, everybody's going to show up at 6 o'clock. You're not going to get rolling until everybody's seated, and then you're going to keep people there too long. And people don't want to be there long. They've been at work all day. So that's the way the event looks as far as staffing and flow.
Okay. And then what do you do for education? Is it a PowerPoint? Is it live surgery, a recorded procedure? And do you have a patient there to provide any type of testimonial?
It's all of that. So we do have what we call a live procedure. Back in the day before COVID, we used to have a big camera and we would film a live procedure and we would shoot it up to the front TV and people could see it. And then we'd bring the patient out. The patient would be a person that would address the group before their procedure. And we'd say, hey, you know, how far back and can you read the t-shirts on row 6, 7, 8? And they'd be like, oh my God, I can see the t-shirt on this guy in row 2, you know, with my glasses. But if I take them off, I can't see anything. And then, you know, we do the procedure and then we bring them back out like, how you doing now? Well, it seems a little blurry, but man, I can see everything a lot clearer. I can see everything, the faces, I see the t-shirt on the second row. So that's the way we used to do it. What we've done now though, we've kind of evolved and we still call it a live procedure, but we do a procedure and we pre-record it. So we pick a patient that we know that will be articulate and will be good in front of a crowd. We give them a little bit of a discount to do that for us, maybe a $100 or $200 off, not a lot. And we address the crowd. They say, I had my procedure a week ago, or maybe it's 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to share my video with you. And then at the end, I'm going to answer questions. And we find this to be better because now we have a person that has lived day one. They've lived through week one. They can tell you how they evolved during their recovery, and they can tell you anything at all for a post-operative period. So it actually lends itself better to a better story, you know? And it's less stressful on the doctors because everybody knows during a procedure, something can go wrong. It usually doesn't, but they just want to remove the element of surprise. So this way it works out better. So we say it's a live procedure. We have a question and answer period at the end. Before we get rolling, we have like an MC or a host, and they say, hey, thanks for coming. I'm going to show you an 8-minute video. This is a video all about our practice, who we are and what we do. And then our doctors are going to join us. So the video starts right at 6 o'clock. It goes for 8 minutes. And when the video's on, that's when the doctors know I better get my game face on. I better brush up my lab coat and tighten up my tie because I'm coming out. And then they all come out and it's two or three surgeons that then address the group and they're on point. There is no PowerPoint display or anything like that. It's all verbal. They talk about the procedure. They answer some questions. They show the 7-minute video of the person having the procedure. The patient is there to answer questions. And then at the very end, we do the open Q&A forum. And then at the very, very end, we excuse everyone, thank them for coming and encourage them to make an appointment. Then they all go off to the appointment making area, and a handful of people usually stick around for those private questions.
Got it.
You know, some people, they might say, I have diabetes. Will this affect? And they don't want to say that in front of a crowd, you know, things like that, that are more private.
So do you do any screenings at all, like an AR, read glasses, or do anything at the event?
You know, Carolyn, for years we did do that, and we've eliminated all that because with the technology as it has evolved, pretty much everybody and their brother seems to be a candidate for something. So we can treat a very high astigmatism now. And in the beginning, we couldn't treat any astigmatism. We can treat a very high myopic prescription now. In the beginning, we were very limited. We can treat hyperopes. If you're older than the average laser vision correction patient, we can talk to you about multifocal IOLs and laser cataract surgery, which we do. So many times, if we book 30 or 40 evaluations on the spot, maybe three or five of them are for cataract surgery because the person showed up and they're 58 or they're 56 and they have glare at night, and we determine that they're not the greatest candidate for LASIK let's get you in for something else. So all is not lost. Anybody who walks in the door is a prospective patient and a candidate for something.
A patient is a patient, right?
Yep.
Okay. We're starting to run out of time here, but of the patients who come in and book consultations, like you said, these are bottom of the funnel patients. So they're booking surgeries typically within the next month, right? So pretty much these open houses just continually feed your surgery schedule for every month, correct?
Yep. Yes. Perfect.
And then what day have you found that, do you rotate days each month, or have you found that there's a better day over a different one?
Ah, that's quite a sticking point and topic here at our practice. So it's a good question though. Very good question. It'd be my preference to do them different days of the week, because I've learned over the years through our surveys, I mentioned we pass out a survey. Lots of times on the surveys, I'll get feedback about the day of the week. I'll get somebody saying, you know, I have bowling on Thursdays. Can you do this a different day? I had to skip my bowling to come here. Or I have classes on Tuesday and Thursday nights. A lot of kids go to night school and they have class on Thursday night. And our night is Thursday night. So we do it on Thursday night only because it's good for the doctors. We want all of our doctors to be there, and between their kids' schedules and their personal lives and their, you know, things that they do, Thursday works for them.
Okay.
So we have tried to do the occasional Wednesday. We might do one Wednesday a year or two Wednesdays a year, but almost always we do it Thursday, and that is not my preference. If it was a perfect world, I would say do it different days of the week.
Okay. Kathy, you have shared a lot of information. I'm hoping this inspires some of our listeners to look in this as an opportunity for them to increase attracting patients to their clinic. I'm going to give you some last minute words here. If there's anything you'd like to share, and if you're willing to have, you know, people want to reach out to you for some one-on-one questions, would you be willing to share your contact information?
So we can certainly share my contact information. I'm always happy to talk to other smile practices. In fact, I know you and I talked about maybe getting a marketing group together where we can have a group of smile practices meet regularly, and I would love to do that. But yes, please share my contact information. I'm happy to help anyone interested in starting an event or tweaking their event. I think something to keep in mind when doing patient education events is don't get discouraged. We've been doing these so long and we are very, very good at them. I not to be a bragger, but I've spoken at ASCRS numerous times. I've had various practices across the country come and visit me to see how we do this. And it's simply because we have a lot of experience and time into it. So if you start doing them and you get 5 or 7 or 14 patients, don't be discouraged, because we used to have that many patients. It's all about the marketing mix and the timing and learning what works for you. So I would encourage you to try them. If you want to try them quarterly, maybe that would be a good start. That'll give you plenty of lead time to get ready and get it staffed and get it advertised. If you want to try it every single month, you can do that. But I would definitely caution you that you'll probably have a slower start if you're doing them every single month. You might only have a handful of people, but that's okay, because I have learned that smaller groups have much higher conversion rates. I've had snowstorms that I'm expecting 60 people and I get 24, and all 24 schedule and they book a evaluation that day. So one-on-one kind of people like that more. They have a bigger connection and they feel like booking and scheduling in a smaller setting oftentimes.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. This was very helpful. I already put some notes here. I think maybe we need a follow-up discussion on a future podcast as well. So thank you, Kathy, for joining me. And thank you for our listeners for taking your time to learn more about open house seminars for laser eye surgery.
Thank you, and keep on smiling.
We're all very grateful to Kathy for sharing both her time today and her pearls on how to host a successful open house. A special thank you to our listeners for considering expanding your marketing efforts to include these seminars. And as always, if you have additional questions, you can reach out to your PDC manager, who would welcome an opportunity to help you plan yours. We look forward to having you join us again for another LVC podcast episode.